Ever feel like you're drowning in a sea of new tech? Like you're constantly being told that it's going to make you more efficient, but somehow you just end up working like way
The
longer.
common paradox. Yeah, that's the time we live in, isn't it? We're chasing efficiency. But then you're right. The finish line just seems to keep moving further and further away.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today, with your colleague Heiko's recent experience. We're going to be talking about Power BI, those whirlwind business trips you've all been on, and that looming pressure to do more with less, all through the lens of your colleague, Heiko. You mentioned that he was training colleagues in Europe.
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation, actually. So Heiko is primarily self-taught in Power BI, and he's using it mostly for sales data analysis. And he was kind of suddenly thrust into this role of international expert.
Wow, so it's like that classic fake it till you make it, but with software.
Exactly, yeah.
Although he wasn't exactly faking it, was he? You were saying he actually prefers Power BI to traditional spreadsheets.
He does, he does. He finds it much more efficient. Especially for the types of analysis that his role demands. He mentioned, for example, being able to pull up real-time sales figures on his phone, while he was on the go, which would be much more cumbersome with traditional pivot tables, which, for our listeners who might not be familiar, are essentially ways to summarize large data sets within a spreadsheet, but it can be clunky to manipulate on the fly.
So he's not just like crunching numbers in a back office somewhere.
Yeah.
He's using this data to make decisions in real time, out in the field, literally.
Exactly. And it kind of begs the question, is this reliance on internal experts a sustainable model, for companies? Or are there risks associated with that? What happens when somebody like Heiko, who's resourceful but still learning, encounters a problem they haven't encountered in their kind of self-guided exploration of the software?
And it makes you wonder if are companies prioritizing short-term solutions over investing in, more robust training programs? I mean, because you could invest all this time and then the program's outdated in a year.
Yeah, and that's the double-edged sword of this kind of constant technological advancement, isn't it? Constant adaptation is necessary, but it comes at a cost.
And speaking of adaptation, let's shift gears to his business trip itself.
Okay, yeah.
This wasn't your typical fly-in, fly-out, PowerPoint-heavy ordeal, was it?
No. Not at all. And he really emphasized the human connection aspect of it. He said the trip was as much about building relationships and fostering collaboration as it was about the actual training content, which I thought was really interesting. We were just discussing the potential for technology to sometimes hinder those very things. And it's like the trip itself was kind of an antidote to this always-on tech-driven work culture that we find ourselves in.
He actually mentioned a few interactions that stood out.
Oh, yeah.
In London, for instance, he and some colleagues grabbed a beer, a 6-pound pint. Can you believe it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. A taste of London prices right here.
Yeah, I know. But it's these small, seemingly insignificant details that actually offer, a glimpse into these challenges, considerations of navigating these different cost of living realities,
Absolutely,
which
yeah.
I'm sure, a lot of your listeners who travel for work can relate to.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But it also highlights, small but significant cultural differences as well. Like he mentioned that one colleague was a diehard West Ham United fan. So they talked shop, of course, but also found common ground through football. And they didn't even just talk Power BI. He said they got into the specifics of their respective markets. So Germany and the UK, later, they had dinner at an Italian restaurant and he raved about the food. But he said the experience really fosters a sense of camaraderie within the group.
Yeah, there's a wealth of research actually on the impact of shared meals on collaboration.
Oh, really?
It makes sense, right? Breaking bread together kind of creates this space for more informal conversation. It strengthens bonds and often leads to those aha moments that, these formal meetings sometimes lack.
Food for thought, literally.
There you go.
But it wasn't just London, though. He also had dinner with a colleague in Warsaw at a traditional Polish restaurant. And
This time, though, the conversation took a bit of a fascinating turn. Tell me, what did he say about the rebuilt old town?
he was really struck by the city's resilience. You know, the Warsaw Old Town was largely destroyed during World War II.
Right.
And it was meticulously rebuilt, like piece by piece.
Wow.
And he said it just, it felt symbolic, you know?
Yeah.
A testament to the power of human determination, even in the face of unimaginable hardship.
Yeah, I love that.
And isn't that kind of a fitting parallel to our conversation?
Totally.
You know, just as Warsaw rebuilt, we too are grappling with this constant need to adapt and evolve in a rapidly changing world.
Right, right.
Speaking of, you know, adaptations coming with a cost, Heiko did mention struggling to balance the demands of his work with his personal life. Of course, yeah. And it's so easy to feel like we need to be on all the time.
Right.
Especially with our work emails and messages following us everywhere we go on our phones.
Yeah.
Did his experience on the trip with all this added pressure and responsibility, did that exacerbate that feeling at all?
It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah. And while he thrived on the challenge of the training,
right,
and he clearly enjoyed connecting with his colleagues,
right,
he did admit to, you know, feeling the strain.
Yeah. He mentioned a 70% negative impact on his overall well-being,
right,
which is significant.
Yeah.
What were the factors that contributed to that feeling? Was it the travel?
Yeah.
Was it the workload or something else entirely?
It seemed like the root cause was really this pressure to do more with less.
Right.
It's a phrase we hear all the time.
All the time, yeah.
You know, in today's work environment. He mentioned that his company, like many others, has been operating with, you know, leaner staff.
Right.
And an increased workload.
Right. So they've had to let go of some employees, but the workload has actually increased.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, that's a recipe for burnout if I've ever heard one.
It is.
And it makes you wonder, like, is technology truly making us more efficient?
Yeah.
If we're constantly expected to do more with less and we're sacrificing our well-being in the process.
It's a question worth pondering. I mean, technology can be a really powerful tool for efficiency.
Right.
But it can also blur the lines between work and personal time.
Right.
And that can make it really challenging to disconnect and recharge.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's studies that show a direct correlation between increased workload, especially when coupled with limited resources and support.
Right.
And a decline in mental and physical well-being among employees.
Of course. It's like we're caught in this vicious cycle. But okay, let's zoom back in on the technology piece for a moment.
Okay, sure.
Specifically, you know, his experience with Power BI. He mentioned that he was primarily self-taught, right?
He is, yeah. He saw this need to analyze data more efficiently.
Right.
In his case, it was sales figures.
Okay.
And he sought out a solution, and he just dove headfirst into the world of Power BI.
I mean, that speaks to resourcefulness.
Totally. Yeah.
But it also makes you wonder, is that like where we're headed as a society?
Yeah.
Is everybody just scrambling to become their own like IT department?
Right.
Just to keep their head above water?
Exactly. And while Heiko's approach had its advantages,
right,
it also presented some potential pitfalls. He talked about moments where he encountered limitations.
Okay.
Like complex analyses that he just hadn't learned how to tackle within the software yet.
Right. So he's mastered the basics.
Right.
But then he hits this wall where he needs to have this nuanced conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's not equipped to have it.
And it highlights this importance of strategic technology adoption, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, instead of viewing every new software as something we need to master entirely.
Right.
Perhaps a more sustainable approach involves identifying, okay, what are the specific skills and knowledge we need to be proficient in our roles?
Right.
And then seek out the training and support accordingly.
Yeah.
It's about working smarter, not necessarily harder.
Right. So being selective about what we invest our time and energy in. But with technology changing so rapidly, how do we even know what's going to last?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And while no one has a crystal ball, there are some indicators of a software's longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, industry adoption, strong community support, a consistent track record of updates, improvements.
Right.
And it's also about recognizing that sometimes we just have to make the best decisions we can with the information we have at the time.
Right.
And just remaining adaptable.
Okay.
Open to pivoting when we need to.
So a blend of research, intuition, and a willingness to embrace the unknown. It's a lot like that rebuilt old town in Warsaw, isn't it? We take the remnants of what worked before, adapt to the current landscape, and we build something new, hopefully stronger and more resilient than what came before. it's fascinating how this idea of resilience kind of keeps coming up.
Yeah.
It's not just about mastering a single tool or a single strategy.
Right.
It's about cultivating this adaptable mindset, right?
Yeah.
This willingness to learn, to evolve as the landscape shifts around us.
Absolutely.
And that requires, you know, a certain level of balance.
It does.
Like you said, to like embrace the change without letting it consume us.
Yeah. And it brings us back to the heart of our deep dive today. Mm-hmm. Finding balance in a world that often prioritizes speed, efficiency over well-being,
yeah,
over sustainability.
And it's like we're constantly told to lean in, level up, optimize every aspect of our lives. But what happens when we push ourselves to the brink?
Yeah.
You know, Heiko's experience, that 70% negative impact on his well-being,
yeah,
that serves as a stark reminder of the potential consequences.
It's a cautionary tale. And it's not an isolated incident either.
Right.
Studies consistently show that this relentless focus on doing more with less.
Yeah.
Especially when it's coupled with a lack of support, a blurring of boundaries between, you know, work life and personal life.
Right.
It can lead to burnout, decreased productivity.
Right.
And, of course, a host of physical and mental health issues.
It's like we're caught in a system that's actually rewarding us for burning the candle at both ends.
Right.
Even as it's slowly eroding our ability to, you know, actually function.
Right. It's a systemic issue.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we're powerless.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
to create change both individually and collectively.
So where do we even begin? If the system is the problem, how do we break free from that always on mentality?
Well, I think it starts with awareness.
Okay.
You know, recognizing the hidden costs of our current way of working. Like Heiko, a lot of us are probably pushing ourselves,
right,
to meet these unrealistic expectations,
yeah,
without fully recognizing the toll it's taking.
Right. It's like that old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Right.
We get so used to running on fumes, we forget what it feels like to be fully present, fully engaged.
Yeah.
Both in our work and in our lives outside of work.
And that's why setting boundaries is so crucial.
Yeah.
Individually, this might look like being more mindful of our time.
Okay.
Setting limits on, you know, after hours work.
Right.
Prioritizing activities that actually nourish our well-being.
Like, remember that conversation we had a few weeks ago about the Pomodoro technique?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Maybe it's time to dust off that timer, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Start incorporating some strategic breaks into our workday.
Yeah. And just as important as setting those individual boundaries.
Right. Right.
Is advocating for a workplace culture that supports those boundaries.
Yes, 100%. So it's about shifting from that culture of presenteeism, where we're rewarded for the sheer number of hours that we log.
Right, right.
To a culture of sustainable productivity.
Yeah.
Where the focus is on outcomes and well-being.
Yes, precisely. And that requires a shift in mindset, really.
Yeah.
From both individuals and organizations. Instead of viewing rest and rejuvenation as these luxuries, we need to start recognizing them as these essential ingredients,
yeah,
for creativity, for innovation, and for long-term success.
Totally. It's about, you know, trusting ourselves and trusting our colleagues to manage our time and our energy effectively,
right,
even if it doesn't look the way it always has.
Right. And it's about creating a space where we can bring our full selves to work,
yeah,
without having to sacrifice our health or our well-being in the process.
100%. So what does this all mean for you, you know, our listener? What can you take away from Heiko's experience in our conversation today?
Yeah.
Perhaps it's a renewed commitment to setting those boundaries, having those sometimes, you know, difficult conversations about workload and expectations, or maybe it's just taking a few moments to prioritize your own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Well said. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm going to leave you with this thought. What if, instead of fearing change, we embraced it?
Woo, I like that.
Right. What if we looked at it as an opportunity to kind of redesign our relationship with work and create a future where well-being and productivity go hand in hand?
I love that. That's something to think about.